Well, good morning, friends and members of Good Shepherd. It's great that we can connect virtually, even though we cannot gather together in person. Wishing you a good morning. My name is Rolly Stahl. I'm one of the pastors here at Good Shepherd. I'll be your worship leader today. Pastor Reed will be sharing God's word with us a little bit later in the service. Well, I need to say, first of all, Happy New Year. And you're thinking to yourself, well, it's not New Year yet. Well, today is the first Sunday of Advent, which is also the first Sunday of the church new year. So happy new year to you. The season of Advent is a season of preparing for the coming of Jesus, and it runs over four Sundays leading up to Christmas. During the season of Advent, there are three comings of Jesus that we focus on and we remember. First of all, we look backwards to when the Son of God came into the world as a baby born to Mary. We also look forwards to when Jesus will return in glory with his angels as the end time King and Judge of all. And then we come into the present where we actually welcome Jesus into our hearts today. So during this Advent season, our series theme is Hearts Prepared for Jesus, hearts prepared for Jesus. Well, friends, as we commence worship, I think it's good to remember that the ancient peoples used to rejoice and celebrate when they came together. And even though we can't do that physically, we're still able to do that virtually. I'm a real person here and you're a real person sitting at home. And we've got to remember that we are part of the whole community of God's people throughout history, whether here on earth or up in heaven. So in this first opening sentences, we share the joy of God's people as they come together, remembering that there is a God who created us, a God who's watching over us, a God who reaches out in love to save us, a God who makes us his forever. So as we go through some of these opening sentences from Psalm 40, I invite you to either respond or just listen at home. And Georgie will light the first candle on our Advent wreath. Here we go. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands form the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. And so, friends, we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, normally in our worship, we'd be having a couple songs to join the saints in praising God. But today we go straight into our call to confession. Thinking about this during the week, I think whenever we turn away from God to do our own thing, it never tends to work out very well. We get ourselves into trouble. We put ourselves into danger. We hurt the people that matter to us. And then we find that as we're going down our own path, our peace and joy, it evaporates. And then we get to a point where we might feel lost and wondering where God is in our lives or in the world. In such times, the Psalms remind us not to keep going away from God, but to turn to God. And here's a few verses from Psalm 40 as an example. Lord, don't hold back your tender mercies from me. Let your unfailing love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles surround me, too many to count. My sins pile up so high, I can't see my way out. They outnumber the hairs on my head. I've lost all courage. Please, Lord, rescue me. Come quickly, Lord, and help me. So friends, let's turn to the Lord for his mercy that comes to us through our Lord Jesus. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we admit that we haven't always lived up to who we are as your precious children. We have not always obeyed or respected your authority over our lives. We have been more interested in the things of this world than doing what you want. In our thoughts, words, and deeds, we have sinned against you and others. We pause. Friends, we continue. Forgive us for the sake of Jesus, who freely gave himself for us. By your Holy Spirit, create in us a new heart and renew our joy in serving others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep and then rose again to give us life. The risen Jesus gave his authority to his church to declare forgiveness to those who repent and believe. And so according to your confession, I declare to you, your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May God's peace be with you now and always. Amen. Well, normally we'd have a song of praise, but we're going to go straight into our Bible readings. Reed's chosen two texts from Genesis today for today's message. His theme, waiting for the world to change. The first reading is from Genesis chapter 12, and this word blessing comes up a lot in these few verses. A few questions for you to think about. Well, what does this blessing look like for Abraham? How has the Lord blessed you? And how might the Lord want to bless others through you? By way of background here, Abraham, and Sarai have been living in a place called Haran. They are wealthy, they are settled. Abraham is 75. And this call of God comes, promising to make him a nation, which is interesting because they still haven't had children. So I read from Genesis chapter 12, and I'm going to read from verses 1 to 5. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Our next reading comes 24 years later. By now, Abraham's name has been changed to Abraham, Sarai has been changed to Sarah, and yet they still do not have any children. I read from Genesis chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get 3 seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." And then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. And while they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "Oh, there in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "Oh, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" And then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now over to Pastor Reed.
Thanks, Rolly. Good morning. Happy New Year. I'm trying to get people to laugh here also. Those few that are here, Happy New Year. Most people probably don't know that this is the first Sunday of the church year, and we can say Happy New Year because all of us are ready for a different year, I believe. Is that correct? Can I get an amen even from you?
Amen.
Thank you very much. What we've been doing as we are resetting, hopefully, for 2021, and next year can be and will be different. For the last months, Rolly and Georgie and I have been looking through the worship series and using the lectionary on how, as Pastor Rolly was talking about, we connect with people of all places and all time, having the same scriptures and using the same scriptures so that we can talk about the same things, speak about the same things. And so we've been doing that, but I chose differently because here was our text for today. Here's a little precursor to it. Pray that this won't happen in winter, for those will be the days of great tribulation, the kind that hasn't been from the beginning of creation until now and never will be again. And then it says, but in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not shed its life. You know what comes next. Let's talk about something a little bit more hopeful this morning. Even though we're hopeful for Jesus returning, I think we've had enough of tribulation for 1 year. Is that correct?
Amen.
Amen again. The people of the ancient world desperately wanted change and were waiting for the world to change. One of these ways that we talk about it in the Christian church, of course, is that in the book of Matthew, to express what this means for people, is the first chapter of Matthew is an expression of the genealogy up until Christ. And who do they start with? Do you remember? Abraham. Now, I always thought, why didn't we start at Adam? Or why didn't we start at Noah? I mean, that would seem logical. But we start at Abram because there's a specific promise that comes with Abram that sets us on a course that points us to the Messiah. And the beautiful part about that is, well, the Messiah will come and the Messiah is here and the Messiah will reign, but there's a sense of waiting and a preparation. But boy, is it hard to wait. It's incredibly hard to wait and then prepare for something that's promised. In 2006, John Mayer wrote this song, which is incredibly profound even today. It's called Waiting on the World to Change. Maybe some of you have heard it before. I don't sing it well, and singing doesn't do well with Zoom, but I'm going to try it anyway. And when you trust your television, what you get is what you got. Do you remember this one? Because when they own the information, they can bend at what all they want. We are waiting. Waiting. Come on, you guys. Waiting on the world to change. Do you know this or no? Oh, never mind. So the morning's message is not a diatribe against contemporary media, nor is it a backlash against the way governments work, or in some cases don't work, for the benefit of the people they govern. But our scripture lesson today leads us to look at the difficulty of waiting, like for Abram and Sarai, especially when the world was shifting around them, and it shifts around us today too. It seems like it shifts almost every day. Over the last few weeks and months during this tumultuous and constantly changing year of 2020, we've been paying attention to the news, the media, and all things social for the direction in which we must walk. We wandered from a place of taken for granted peace and safety into the valley of the shadow of death. Here in Australia, what is considered a place very much like the promised land is now a chaotic landscape of fear. And the message that gets bent for us is this: put all your trust in the government. Put all your trust in a vaccine that could be just around the corner. Put all your hope in getting back to the way things used to be. But do we really think that the government can ultimately bring us joy, or a vaccine will bring us happiness? Or can a return to normalcy ultimately erase the fear that is so present in this dark age? So Abram and Sarai encountered this very kind of darkness. When Abram was 75 years old and his wife 10 years younger, the dreams of having a family had passed them. Their hope of a secure future rested on the inheritance of a man named Eliezer who wasn't even close to them. Even worse, Abram's father, Terah, decided to live the life of a gray nomad. And his life was for him and his family. So they set out a cross-country trek from Ur to go to Canaan, to go to this promised land. And following the Euphrates River northwest, they came to Haran and decided to settle there instead, short of that promised land. For the 75-year-old man and his wife, maybe there was a sense of relief. Nobody likes to travel forever, do they? Thank goodness they wouldn't have to travel away from the river, through the dry spaces, through the wilderness, past Damascus and all the way to Canaan. Perhaps you, like I, after the first wave of coronavirus had settled down, that we found our new normal, and maybe it was our normal was just like the old normal. It's time to get back to the way things used to be, and yet we settled short of that intended goal. Are we, like Abram and Sarai, feeling a little uneasy that we're not quite there yet? Are we always waiting for the world to change? Genesis 11:31-32 says, "And we don't know how long they stayed in Haran, only that Abram's father, Terah, died there. But they must have settled there for a while, and it became a routine. They must have found a new normal in that land, until it was that God spoke to them and unsettled them like so many others along the scriptural journey." I love how the King James Version says from Genesis 12, "Get thee out of Haran." Get thee out of here. Instead of like this nice invitation that we get from the NIV, go out from your land. Get thee out of here. I've got something new for you and your father's house to the land, and I will show you. Go away from that which was normal. I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and I will curse you. You don't have to worry about the cursing either. Any of those who treat you with contempt and all the peoples of the earth, not just your closest friends, not those who are in the same community as you, but all people will be blessed through you. Here's the translation. I've got something new for you, something completely different, and this is going to hurt. It will be unsettling, to say the least, but because of my faithfulness and your acceptance, not only will you be blessed, but so will everyone else. It's very hard to have this kind of faith. But it seems like Abram has bought into the saying, life begins at 75. Except there's one hitch, one little niggling problem with what God has promised. Abram doesn't have any children. It's impossible to be a great nation without descendants. It's impossible to bless all the peoples of the earth when they forget your name after a couple of generations. And he doesn't hear or say anything about it for how long? Do you remember what Rolly said? 24 years. 24 years of waiting for the world to change. At the age of almost 100, God appears to Abram and gives him the full rundown of the vision for the future. Genesis 17, God promises Abram that the future is now, that the thing he had been waiting for has finally arrived, and even so much as to change his name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of many nations. He's still waiting for this world to change, but his name has changed. Like Abraham, we can succumb to the hopelessness of this world. We can give in to the desire to put into the trust, our trust in governments, media, and all sorts of other idols to save us, bless us, and keep us, keep promises. To trust in God, though, after all this time, is painful and worrisome. But for Abraham, the slowly developing promises had to be undergirded by the changing Abraham. How much did Abraham change in 24 years? No longer dependent on his earthly father, Abraham, even had at an advanced age, had to become a fighter. To defend his family and his land, Abraham had to push through his fear, be patient in affliction, and persistent in prayer, just like Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 12. Now a warrior, capable of both nation and a household, God arrives after Abram's been transformed and accomplishes what he promised, as he always does. As the world has been shifting under our feet, what is God promising us, his people? What has he been whispering to us at the end of 2020 and beginning at the next year? Perhaps the whisper is like this. I'm not going to whisper it, though I'd like to. You won't be able to hear me as well. People of God, my faithful children, go from a place of comfort and peace and enter into the chaos chosen for you towards the peace and the place I will show you. You will be blessed in the journey as you grow. You will be blessed with perseverance and prayer and a submission to my will. You will be blessed to encounter my strength in abundance. You will give glory to my name, and in doing so, the world might be reminded that I am greater than a virus. I am greater than fear. I am greater than death. I am. I am who was, who is, and who is to come. I am sending you out to be a blessing among the nations, to speak the name of Jesus, and to activate the power of the Holy Spirit to engage hopelessness and bring peace where there's chaos. Go and remember, I am with you to the very end of the age. Here are the words that God whispers to us, his people, at the end of 2020. Go and remember, I am with you. The journey's not going to be easy. It will be hard. And we will leave behind many of the things that have brought us comfort in the past. But we will be prepared to be blessed, and in doing so, we can bless others. Be ready. Be prepared. Trust. Because you never know when you're going to entertain angels. Notice how this second piece of the story, God's fulfillment of the covenant, fits in. Abraham seems to be prepared when he sees three men wandering in the heat of the day in the desert. So he invites them in. He practices excellent hospitality. I love this. He's 99 years old, or close to 100. And he says to his 90-year-old wife, can you go fix these guys some bread? And, you know, when we read this in the scriptures, it says 3 seahs. Does anyone know how much that is? Yeah. It's roughly about 7 kilos or 7 liters per person. So she's going to fix How big are these guys anyway? You know? So she's going to fix all this bread. They're waiting for a cow to be killed. And all of this is prepared. And Abraham, as a 100-year-old person, is sitting in the heat of the day talking to these guys. And so they sit under this tree, and I love it, these oaks of Mamre. I mean, we can think of Australian oaks, or we can think of eucalyptus. We think of these big trees as they're sitting there and resting. And it's there underneath these trees, like so many trees, even like the tree of Calvary, where life is changed. The promise is revealed. And after all these years, after all this waiting for the world to change, even though both Abraham and Sarah laugh, nothing is impossible for the Lord. All throughout the scriptures, people have waited on the Lord. The people of Israel through the Exodus, 40 years, through the age of kings, through the exile, through the Roman occupation, they all waited on God to change the world. The Messiah would come and set things right. The Holy One of God would make an appearance, and the kings of the earth would bow at his feet. Israel had set up a nation, a land dependent on temple and on a law, worship guidelines, and following these rules. Their assumption was that the Messiah would show up in these things, and yet God whispered through the prophets, you have to leave the land of temple worship, law worship, self-righteous worship. Go from the things that have made you comfortable and await the coming Son who will bless you and make you a great nation. The Son will give you a new name and he will bless you, and you will be a blessing to all nations. Keep your eyes open. Be prepared. I am coming. But the waiting is hard. The waiting is frustrating and prone to despair. Waiting for God, even in the good times, is almost impossible. Many of the people in Roman-occupied Israel were not ready. When the Messiah arrived in the form of a baby born in a manger, he was met with contemptuous laughter. But nothing is impossible for God. Through his Son Jesus, the Messiah, all things work together for the good of those who love him, all things, including what's happening right now. Even wandering in the chaos of the COVID world, even in the mess of world politics, even in the distraction of overly entertained lives, all things are possible for the God who can bring about a family to two centenarians, a young woman and her carpenter husband, the Son of God who would die the most inglorious death and rise again so you might be blessed. All things are possible. Wait for it. We continue to wait for God to change this world again, but we get to participate as agents in this transformation. Hearing God's call on our own lives, we can leave what was easy for what is God's will. We can leave what is calm for what is chaotic to help out in the lives of people who need Jesus and who need to know Jesus. We can leave the land of comfort for the contemporary land of Canaan and be blessed so that we can be a blessing. And friends in Christ today, that's a change worth waiting for. God bless you as you wait. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we wait for the return of the Messiah, help us to be agents of this change in this world, agents of peace, agents of love, agents of hope. Help us to be shining lights on the hill, in the valley, wherever you place us, and help our faces light up as we know that you're coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor Reed. Waiting, not easy. Well, let's, bearing in mind that we are waiting, let's come before God in our prayers this morning. And we'll start off with some praise points and then some thanksgiving points and then some petitions. We pray. Father God, we thank you for your plans of blessing for your world and all who inhabit it. We thank you, Lord, that in spite of human contempt and rebellion and laughter at you, you have never given up on us. You have kept your promises in revealing your heart to us in your Son, Jesus. And you've reached out in our to us in our brokenness and drawn us to your heart that we might be yours forever. We praise you, Lord, for your unfailing love and that you are continuing to work all things together in your love for those who love you. Father, we thank you for the blessings we have even while we're waiting. We thank you for the blessings of marriage and family, for friends, colleagues. We thank you for the blessings that come to us through your church family and the community we have, not just here at Good Shepherd, but in your church throughout the world. Lord, we thank you for that even though we've had a couple really hot days, that there have been no new major fires and that those that have happened have been brought under control quickly. We thank you, Lord, that we live in this great south land of the Holy Spirit. We pray that your blessing would flow into this land, your blessing to for your gospel to go out and for your gospel to be heard and received, trusted and believed, that more and more people would come into your family through us. We thank you for the leaders of our nation, and we pray, Lord, that you continue to guide our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and the leader of the opposition, Anthony Albanese, to promote laws that promote laws, Lord, that bring freedom and protection to our land, freedom for the gospel to be proclaimed, Lord, and justice for all people, where, Lord, the small people are looked after, the little people are cared for, and the unborn are protected. We thank you for our state leaders, Lord, as they have navigated their way through this COVID season. We continue to pray wisdom for Stephen Marshall, Nicola Spurrier and Grant Stevens as they consult with the people around them, Lord, that they would give advice, that you'd give them wisdom to keep us safe. Lord, we are aware that there are people experiencing lots of brokenness too in this time of waiting. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, for those who continue to grieve. We pray for your comfort for them. We pray for those going through ongoing chronic pain or unresolved health issues where doctors scratch their heads and can't seem to discover what the problem is. Lord, let there be breakthroughs for them. We pray, Lord, for broken marriages and broken families. Lord, that you would bind up what is broken and bring restoration. We pray, Lord, for those who are unemployed or underemployed and for the struggling businesses of our land. Lord, bring restoration to them. And Lord, one further praise point, we pray thanksgiving for the marriage yesterday of Alad and Deborah. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them in their journey of life together. And we thank you for that. And so now we come and pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, regarding our free will offerings, they are a way that we bring honour to God and participate in his plans of blessing for our world. Many of you do this electronically, and we are grateful for that. Otherwise, you're invited to put aside your offerings at home and bring them along when we can next gather for worship. Well, let me bless you in the name of our living God. May the Lord bless you and keep you in his care. May the Lord smile on you and bring his blessing and pour out his grace into your life. May the Lord look on you with favour and give you his peace. Amen. Amen.